Today we're talking about, as you can probably picked up from our readings, from our comments down in Sunday school, we're talking about suffering. But we're also talking about glory, hastening on to glory. And on the way, suffering, the title of my message. On the way to glory, we've been talking about the glory that we have inherited and that we shall share in Christ. As he said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, verse 16 and in verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And so suffering with Christ is in order to be glorified with Christ. That's what for I consider, verse 18, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We'll stop there. I could read on. It's all a kind of passage that ties in together. I want to make a few introductory remarks about the change at verse 18, 17 and 18, between 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul, though his arguments are intricately tied together, and there really is no absolute break between them as he moves from one section of his letter to another. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. The one thing that's wonderful about the book of Romans, well, that's actually true of all the scriptures, but the book of Romans in particular, somehow it shows you how the Holy Spirit thinks. Wow. Is it possible that we have the mind of Christ? Is it possible that the Apostle Paul was speaking and writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that by looking at the Apostle Paul intricately, we can know how the Spirit of God thinks? I believe it's true. And it is so beautiful that sometimes it just is stunning for me to see it. How he intricately puts things together, and yet there is progress in his arguments. And as you know, that we've been talking about assurance of faith. That's what we believe that these chapters are about. Chapter 8 in particular, about assurance of faith. But there's other things involved in here. But he is making progressive arguments why it is that we can have assurance of faith. And the first one being that we are the sons of God. That we are in him. And therefore, sons of God, led by the Spirit. All those things that we talked about. And it all flows out of 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, Son of God. Son of God, glory is to follow. And that, it's a progressive argument that is so nicely done that it's just stunning. Very beautiful. And there's almost a poetic a feel to this passage of Scripture, though it is not. It is prose, but it has a poetic kind of feel to it. I want to consider this issue about suffering. We've talked about glory, hastening on to glory, that to be glorified with Christ is the promise to all of those who are led by the Spirit. And I hope that you have grasped that already. But now, why does he put this suffering business in here? Wait a minute. That's not the only place. We went back, turned back to chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound like 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Absolutely there is. There's a direct connection. And then is there any connection about through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God? There it is again. He has repeated that, in hope of the glory of God. We just finished talking about that last week. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. There's a pattern here, isn't there? The Apostle Paul talks about this wonderful peace that we have, and then he talks about the glory that is to come, and then he shifts it. No, he talks about tribulation and trouble. Now, get it. I want you to get it, because it's all there. And as we read in ours, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But he says, you shall have tribulation. Every child of God will come through this life through a series of tribulations and trials. Let's admit it. Let's put away the nonsense about if you come to Jesus Christ, the prosperity preachers say, you won't have any more health problems. You'll get the cash you need to pay all of your bills and to buy all of the good things. When in fact, if you read this at all, just a casual reading of the scriptures, it warns right up front that anybody who follows Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. And then he puts this suffering along with it as well. And so that the whole Christian life, and Aaron read from Hebrews chapter 12, if you are suffering persecution, you know that you're a child of God. If you're suffering from in this life, you know that God is in that suffering with you. And as we said downstairs, since Christ has come by way of suffering, why shouldn't you, his disciple? He even said it. They'll hate you because they hated me. And you shall have trouble in this life. And you shall have suffering. Now, I want you to say something about the word suffering. It says in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. And then the word shows up again in the next verse, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time. Mind you, the word suffering here is not the same as persecution. He is not saying here that if you suffer persecution for Jesus' sake, that is true. If you do so, that's a special blessing. But this word here for suffering is far broader than that. And it talks about suffering in this creation that has been cursed by God and so forth, the creation does, and he goes on to talk about that, which we're going to talk about next week, about this creation. He's talking about the subhuman creation, that is, everything except the human beings. This creation is subjected in futility by God as a result of sin in the garden. And because of that, and because this world that we live in is subject to futility, we shall suffer in it. And it is the universal experience of all Christian people that they suffer. Isn't it right? Now, I know some of you may not have suffered yet. Some of you are too young. God seems to be good to young people, generally speaking. But I guarantee you, you will suffer. And you won't just suffer persecution. May God help us that if we're diligent in our testimony for our Savior, that we will be, there will be opposition to what we say. Anytime you speak the truth about Christ, you're going to stimulate opposition. Does everybody understand that? You cannot tell the truth in a fallen world and it not produce a response. And it will produce a negative response in the carnal mind. Because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. They do not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned, and they think their foolishness. What we say is foolishness to the world. And so the response is going to be automatically negative. That's just the way it is. And if you haven't come to that realization, you need to come to that realization. That following Christ, you will stimulate resistance. You will stimulate a negative response from most of the people in the world. Especially from carnal minds. Anyone who is not regenerate, not going to understand the things that you say. Not going to receive them. I contribute a lot to, you guys know that I write letters to people and stuff like that, in the New York Times and papers all over the world and everything. They don't always publish them. Not like they do here in the Sentinel. They publish pretty much everything I write. But nonetheless, I submit them because, you know, this whole thing about suffering and stuff like this, and there is so many people that are against the religious faith, our Christian faith. So many people. They think that we Christians are mean-spirited, bad, that we're the big problems across the world. The reason that the world has problems is because of religion. That's right. They believe that the worst of them, one writer says, are those Christians. Because they have the one way. And I say to you, he's right. We do have the one way. And that makes the world mad. They don't like for us to say that. Now, you guys know, having for those of you who have been saved, born again, you know that there's only one way. There's one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, that name, Jesus Christ. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. There's only one way. It is the narrow way, not the broad way. But I'll guarantee you that the whole world wants to hear that everybody is pretty nice and that they're all going to go to heaven. They're just coming up in a different way. But I tell you right now, there's only one way. One way, period. It is by Jesus Christ, and it is by faith in Him, period. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you will perish everlastingly. Now, some would say, well, what about the people that have never heard? And I say, yeah, that's why we send out missionaries. That's why we feel that we have to support missionaries. That's why we want missionaries to go. That's why we want to preach. That's why we want to go. Because unless they hear this message, they shall perish. Now, some, in their late, as they get older, as they get a little cockeyed in their thinking, I'm thinking of, yes, I'm going to mention names, Billy Graham. Billy Graham, considered one of the greatest evangelists in the 20th century, the last century, in his later life, appeared on television to say, literally, recanting the Christian faith, actually. Saying, he said, I believe that there are people many places that have never heard of Christ, but because they do what's right, they'll go to heaven. No, folks, no. That's an error. That's a huge error. God doesn't reward or take into heaven those who do right on that basis. He takes into heaven those who have faith in Jesus Christ, who do thus right. Who live righteously because of faith in Christ. But to try to approach God without this faith is eternally damning. And that's the one way that the people get mad at you. But that's not the only suffering that you're going to have. That's a good kind of suffering. That it really is one that even most of us can come to. We know that if we're out with our hearts right, and we're preaching about God, and people get angry at us for that, we feel actually pretty good. Most of us can handle that. We don't mind getting criticized if we think that we're telling the truth. But what about the other kinds of sufferings? Have you ever prayed this prayer like I have? Lord, what good does it do to serve you when I have more problems than everybody else? Have you ever prayed that? Okay. Like I say, I hate to confess right in front of everybody, like you think I'm a bad person. I am telling you that, in fact, because of suffering, it is a challenge to every Christian that ever came through Christ Jesus to follow Christ, must face these hours in which you say to yourself, Lord, I believed on you. Now it seems like the problems have piled up one on top of the other. And all I do now is go from one problem to another. You see it all the time. And I've experienced it, so God has taken me through it just like He will you. And I've gone to my knees and I prayed, Lord, what good does it do to serve you? And it's a wonderful evidence of God's grace that He didn't send a strike of lightning and burn me up right at that moment. That's what I deserve. But He allows that, like He did with Job, when Job makes his complaints, to teach us about suffering, about God's grace, and about God's mercy. He says that He will send these things to train you up. We don't like that. I guarantee you, most of you have raised children, and I'm sure that our children didn't like it when we smacked them. Yeah, I still use corporal punishment, even though we still use corporal punishment. But I'm sure our children didn't like that. But none of you sat in your room and said, and devised a plan, I'm going to be evil to my children, did you? No, you did it out of love. You did it for the concern of your child. Yes, it probably made you a little angry, some of their behavior, but in the end, you did it to raise them up so they'd be civilized little rascals and not just totally nuts. You discipline them because they need it. And every child then comes back. For those of you who are consistent, or that are faithful in disciplining your children, you all know it. As you get older, those kids come back and they say, yeah, Dad, now we understand. Especially when they have children, okay? Which is God's way of getting even with them, you understand? Because once they have their own children, this stuff becomes very clear. But God does it for a good reason. He puts you through suffering. And one of the reasons is that it's preparing you for glory. That's right. That the way to glory is through suffering. Seems backwards, doesn't it? No, not at all. I think I've told you about the woman that I ministered to after a sermon down in Southern Illinois. And I preached to her, and here's this woman. They said, oh, did you know that this lady here, and I'd preached about cancer and some other things, and that she's dying of cancer and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, no, I didn't know that, but I wouldn't change my message anyway. I was telling about how cancer was, in one way, was God, and the things that you go through as an old person, sometimes God snipping the cords of all the ways that you have attached yourself to this world. And then God starts going clip, 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 freeing you up to rise up into that glory. Yep, He takes away things. He takes away those things in which you have inappropriately connected yourself with this world. And sometimes He does so by disease. When you start seeing that, when you start seeing what's important in this life, if ever that you want to see what's important in this life, you ought to have, like, cancer. Get a diagnosis of cancer. Suddenly, you'll understand. Now, God says that's good. And that is actually part of His plan of bringing you to glory. Yes, we have glory that is promised to us. And what He's trying to say now is, when you have these problems like heart disease, when you go and you have all kinds of problems, try to remember that by comparison, they are, what does He say? I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In other words, they're minor by comparison. Minor. And think about it. I was just sitting at the table the other day saying, there's not much in this life that gives me much pleasure anymore. That is to say, I don't get excited about anything except birds and things like that. Silly little things, you know. God has changed my whole attitude. And I probably don't enjoy the same things you do. Now, please, don't try to be like me. I'm not trying to do that. I'm saying what I'm experiencing is I don't care about the world anymore. Things are being snipped around me. I'm being prepared for glory. I know it. I can see it coming. Now, I don't know when that's coming. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's in a procedure when I go to Illinois. I don't know if it'll be in 25 years. But I know that God is preparing me for glory. And that part of His way is suffering. I'm going to be faithful. I don't like to suffer any more than you do. But I won't complain this time. Mm-mm. I serve Jesus Christ. If we put him in the ground the other day. If I should be in a casket next week, fine and dandy. The difference will be, Jim, that you will know where I've gone to. You'll know that I have slipped into glory and that I have finally realized the promises that God has made to me. I will not complain about my sufferings. And I'm saying it to you. Don't you either. It is not that it is not suffering. I know. Some of the ladies I know are suffering about jobs and things like that. Yes. And that's suffering. I'm not going to diminish the pain of that. And some of you just came through a period of pain and stuff like that. I know others have marital difficulties. I know people that have relationship problems, those kinds of things. Yes. And together, we ought to do what we can to resolve them. You understand? I'm not saying that you need to just sit passively under suffering and just be stoic about it. And as a matter of fact, that's the exact opposite of the biblical teaching. Stoicism. You remember, those of you old enough to remember Jackie Kennedy, and I remember at the funeral of John F. Kennedy and all that kind of stuff when it was on TV and everything, and they remarked how stoic she was. And she was. But that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is to actually rejoice. Aha. There's a difference, isn't there? Now, that didn't mean that I say I'll stand up and cheerlead because I'm going through suffering. But that's the way I say, I have hope. You have hope of glory through this suffering. It is not as though your suffering is the end of the world. It is not. It is God's presence in your life. Know that and believe it. Your suffering, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is divinely instituted. Yeah, that's right. God sent it. And He did it for a purpose, and He did it for a good purpose. And we ought to recognize it. Do you think it's not true? Read on down. Verse 28. Oh, it's in the same passage. It's only 10 verses away. It is actually the conclusion of this whole thing about suffering. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. There it is. Now, believe it. All things. Heart disease. Cancer. Eye problems. Whatever they are. God works them together for good. Suffering is part of the Christian life. And suffering is actually proof that God is leading in your life. Now, there is an unsanctified suffering that is by the unbeliever that is devastating. And it seems to me that it should drive an unbeliever to despair. But for the Christian, not so. We are not to grieve like the world. We are not to suffer like the world. But we are to suffer knowing that there is hope in suffering. Some of you have chronic issues that are going to go on for the rest of your life. Did you know that? Some of you are not going to be able to escape the suffering that you're doing. It's going to last. It's going to stay there until you die. Now, how are you going to cope? I'm saying this right here in this passage of Scripture. This is it. This is why that you need to know this, so that you can be assured of your faith and that you can put your trust in Christ through everything, including all the suffering you must go through. That it is divinely instituted, divinely sent, and it is God working His own purpose in you and me, all of us. I think I want to move to understand that, like I said earlier, we are not to sit passively and to endure and grit our teeth as though we're just getting through. It is appropriate to try to deal with the suffering in your life. If there is physical suffering, it is appropriate to get medical attention. I quoted the scripture from memory the other day. I think it's from the Amplified version. Christina, you got your Amplified there? I don't know. I think it's from the Amplified version. When somebody was asking me about going down to Illinois to try to get a second opinion and get some help from other people, why didn't I just accept reality up here and everything? And I remember a verse that says something like this: "He who fails to heal himself is brother to he who commits murder." It is wrong, in other words, to not try to resolve your suffering. It is okay to get medical attention. It's okay to use pain relievers. It's okay. But when there is suffering, what I want you to do is, even though we should try as best we can to cope with our suffering, when we talk about interpersonal relationships and problems in that way and marital problems, we should try to assist one another. We should strengthen one another and help one another in those kinds of things. But in the end, they are sufferings that actually in the long run are God ordained and are meant to strengthen us. But one way it strengthens us is that in the church we help one another through these problems. Suffering. Some people suffer from stuff. Jim Beal, I mentioned him in my prayer. Right now he's suffering. Let me tell you what he's suffering. I already know. There are some problems that he's dealing with in his family, but that's not his real problem. Jim is beginning to doubt. To doubt that God is with him. It hurts me because the man was my idol. I loved him. He spoke words of wisdom. And now I know personally that he's suffering. And doubt is creeping in. Wow. If a man with his strength and his knowledge and stuff can suffer, what of me? Ah. But he put me in touch with Jim because Jim needs me now. I don't need him so much as he needs me. He has served me and helped me through understanding of the things of God. And now he needs me to help him in understanding that God is with him in his tribulations. And so I told him, "Tell me where you're at. I will drive there. South Carolina, Florida, I don't care. Tell me where you're at. And I'll come and help all that I can." I'm serious about that, folks. And so we need to build one another up in the faith. We need to help one another when we're suffering. But we don't suffer like the rest of the world. We suffer with hope. And it builds power in us. And it builds this character in the church. If we try to escape suffering, we'll never win. But if we try to build ourselves up under suffering, and do it and suffer through it, helping one another and believing that God has ordained it, we'll come through really well. And so that's why I'm preaching this morning about suffering on the way to glory. It's not going to stop today. It's going to get worse. And other people are going to have it. And your problems are gone. Some of your suffering is gone. And you'll be in a better place to help somebody else going through their suffering. And it's going to happen like this all the way through life until one day you either die or the Lord appears. Isn't it going to be good? I get sometimes weary of life, I must admit. I get a little weary. Not that I want to leave it so quickly. I mean, I don't have a death wish up here, folks, or anything like that. I feel a great opportunities opening up today that weren't there 6 months ago in ministry and those kinds of things. And so I see a variety of things I need to do. But I'm reminded of what the Bible says. Bev, you'll have to help me with this. And it says, and when God was through with David, David died. It has nothing to do with what I want to do. It has to do with what God wants to do and what He sent me here to do. If He's done with me, then I will lay down and rest. It's God's way. But the way has been through a way of suffering. And I want everybody to know here that assurance of faith is strengthened, actually, when you realize that you're having suffering. You know that God is in your life. And if you have, if you're even more blessed than having good Christian brothers and sisters that sense and know your pain and that they come to you and help you out, how blessed is that? Indeed, that's what this whole life is about. That's why the church exists, that we can know one another intimately like a family. And when one hurts, all hurt. When one suffers, we all suffer. And when one rejoices, the Bible says we all rejoice. And we did yesterday around our table as the people came over and rejoiced on our birthday. We had a good time. And it was just great rejoicing. We rejoiced together. But there will come a time when we grieve together too. All of that in this wonderful life, isn't it a wonderful life? To have a full range of all that stuff, all sanctified in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a good way to live, isn't it? Suffering. On the way to glory. Hastening on to glory. I'm trying to remember. Isn't there a hymn that has that line in it? That's where it was coming from. Hastening on to glory. And along the way, suffering. That's what it's going to be. Hastening on to glory. On the way, constantly suffering. All by God's purpose and plan. Let's stand. Our Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for the message of the Scriptures here, because there are those in this very room, all number of us, who are suffering at this moment. Different kinds of suffering, different ways, but nonetheless suffering. And some of us don't know that. And so, Father, we pray for those who may be enduring suffering at this moment in their lives, that You would not necessarily relieve them of the suffering. We would like for that to be, but we also know that that suffering is for their benefit. And so, Father, we ask that You work in their hearts that they might get knowledge by the Spirit, that they see Your working in their life and what it is about. That's what we pray. That they will understand that this trouble that they're having comes from You. And that You are teaching us endurance, teaching us character, patience, all of those things that bring credit to the followers of Jesus Christ. And that in the same way, we are being conformed to His own life of suffering and yet righteous obedience. Lord, we are following Jesus, and so we expect to run into suffering. And we ask You, dear Father, to supernaturally help us through this suffering by Your Holy Spirit. Bind us together as a spiritual family, that we will all suffer together and rejoice together as life's circumstances come upon us. We ask you, sanctify these words to each person in this room and to cause them to be encouraged and cause them to be built up and edified with this knowledge, knowing that it is all designed for the assurance of their faith. To know that the promise is for glory, and in the interim we have these insignificant problems. Help us to see it that way. Help us to see that the end of it all is a glory that cannot be imagined. Help us to keep our eyes on that glory and the promise of that great glory and the sharing in the very heritage of Jesus Christ in the end day. And we'll be sure to thank you for all of that in the name of Jesus Christ, our mighty Lord. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.